You touch a key, and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust,
except for us.
Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the Data Doctors.
And welcome back to another edition of the Computer Corner. It is, in fact, the Data Doctors in the house. It's Ken and Brett and Mario and Data Doctor in training, Taylor Colburn. Yeah?
Yeah.
You are training, aren't you?
No.
My son, Taylor. I am my father's... No, I am my son's father. Something. Different talk show. And Brett from our East Valley organization joining us here to talk about something that, quite frankly, I shouldn't really... this shouldn't be the first time you heard it, and if it is, well, I guess we're doing you a service. It's that time of year where the annual bloodletting that is known as income tax return time. You got to file your returns, and those of you that... have to pay Uncle Sam tend to wait longer than those of you that are going to get something from Uncle Sam. So all of you that have already filed and you've probably already gotten your refunds or you're close to it or whatever, this information is still good for you. Those of you that are about to, that haven't started, and I know there's a few of you out there driving around going, oh yeah, taxes. Well, it's March 1st. You got 1.5 months to get it done, and this is the crunch time now for people doing taxes on their own. So this week's show is really all about what you should do to make sure your personal computer is fit, safe, properly set up so that you can safely prepare your taxes without worrying about, is there somebody that's tracking what I'm doing and potentially going to be able to steal my identity? Brett, we see this all the time. We see machines. Come on up to the mic there. We see people all the time bringing these things into our stores, and they come in generally because, you know, the computer's really acting strange, and it's slow, and it's lethargic, and I just need you to clean it up. Just make it faster.
Yeah, we get an awful lot of that, especially around tax time. It seems like everybody brings their computer in when it's disaster mode. They never get it taken care of ahead of time.
No, of course. Nobody's proactive.
It's always the day before their taxes are due, and suddenly I have a 24-hour emergency.
Well, it's more like, you know, the car show was on just before us. Most people are somewhat proactive with their vehicles. They take them in for an oil change, and they get them washed, you know, and they when it starts to make some funny noise, they actually pay attention. And so they before the big disaster, they actually call their mechanic or whoever, and they start looking at it proactively. We're not there yet with computers, are we?
Not by a long shot. Actually, people... with your car, they usually, you know, when you start making a funny noise or it starts driving differently, you'll take it into the shop because they're afraid they're going to get stuck somewhere.
Yep.
With computers, for some reason, they seem to think that they can just keep dragging along and dragging along and dragging along until it dies. And then it's an emergency.
No, it's still working, kind of.
Yeah.
Right?
It comes on, the light comes on, yeah.
So those of you out there driving around, go ahead. Nobody's going to see you. Raise your hand if you like to drive your, or you are in the habit of driving your computer until it crashes. Go ahead. Let's see the show of hands. We know you're out there. Well, listen, here's an area where if you're not proactive, not only is it that your computer may be operating funny, you actually stand the risk of having your identity stolen. So that's, and this is a year-round problem. This isn't just because, oh, it's tax season. It's just a good time to remind people you got to be on top of this all the time. The Federal Trade Commission has a statistic up there that roughly 10 million... individuals are victims of identity theft every year. 10 million people. And dimes to donuts, the computer, the personal computer and the internet has played a big role in that acceleration of identity theft because it is literally just a simple process for somebody in a foreign country to start spreading some software around that has a hidden component in it that if they can get your teenager to download, which they know that's the easiest way into your personal computer, is if you've got teenagers and a high-speed internet connection, they're going to try to lure your teenager into installing this cool free program or, oh, you can get this music for free or this movie or whatever. All those rogue areas that teenagers really aren't too afraid of going to. They can sneak this little program into your computer, and they just sit back and wait. for you, mom and dad, to log on to the computer and go check your bank statement or go, because what they're doing is every keystroke is being recorded silently and sent off as just a little text file, and you have no idea it's being done. And because nobody's bothering to check or look at it or really pay attention, yeah, the computer's running a little slower, but it's still working. So it's time for you to, okay, before you start, and if you've already done your taxes, it doesn't mean, well, I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you do. Because you need to find out, was there a possibility there was something in there when I did my taxes? Because if so, maybe it's time to put a fraud alert on my credit account. You know, there's so many things you want to do proactively when it comes to defending your identity. But it starts with making sure that your computer's clean. And so we've got tons of resources on our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section, or you can go, if you're really cool, you datadoctors.com/radio, and it goes right to the page. You know some of those cool people, right?
Yeah.
Are you one of those cool people?
That goes to the webpage all the time?
No, that types in the slash instead of click, finds the link.
Oh, no, what I do is I just type in the name of the site that I want to go to, and I hit Control-Enter, and I get right to it.
Bada-bing. And anyway, if you go there, you'll see the resources, including we've got a link to a page that we've set up that gives you an idea of the step-by-step things that you need to go through and make sure and do. That's everything from checking the number of processes running. We'll get into that more as the show goes on. We'll give you some very specific information on that. But the step-by-step process for checking the processes you have, encrypting your wireless router, making sure your antivirus and anti-spyware programs are completely up-to-date, and that you run a full and complete what's called a deep scan, not just the regular old quick scan. You want it to check every single file on your computer, because there's these crazy things called rootkits. I mean, there's all kinds of new stuff out there that they've come up with that if you're not checking very deeply before you get started, again, you could be fooling yourself thinking you're safe. And then, of course, your Microsoft updates, all of that stuff you got to do. You have to do it, or you stand the chance of you got your head in the sand. Stand the chance of some little silent program. If you've been if you've owned a computer for a while, you remember in the past viruses were very good at going, ha ha, I gotcha, right? They jump up on you and they put a special screen on, or they there would be something that made it obvious that you've been attacked, because what I call the ha ha hackers, the script kiddies, the guys that just did it for the fun of it, they're just doing it to get a rise out of you. They weren't maliciously trying to do anything unnecessarily. But over time, the hackers figured out, wait a minute, if we alert the user to the fact that we've infiltrated their computer, then they're going to clean us out. So we need to be smarter than them. We need to get in there. We need to hide. We need to be as low level as possible. We get hide from the user so that we can stay alive on that computer, which then allows me to spread that to some other computers and basically slowly take over that computer if I want, or whatever. Once I get into your computer as a hacker, there's just no limit to what I can do if one of these Trojans, one of these backdoor programs opens up or gets into your computer and allows that person from wherever they are to basically turn it into a zombie or do whatever they want with it, or put a keylogger on there to see, what are you doing your taxes this month? So those are all the things that you want to be looking for. And again, we'll go through it all in more detail as we go through the show here. But you want to make sure nobody's trafficking in bad stuff on your computer when it's tax time. And you want to also make sure that when you're driving around the streets of Phoenix, you're not part of the problem when it comes to traffic. Danny Sullivan's going to tell you where to stay away from. Danny. It's tax time. It's Dave Matthews time, too, aren't they?
Gotta love Dave Matthews.
Anyway, it is that time of year that many of you are going to be doing your taxes, probably on your personal computer. And probably you already know, my computer's not really running its greatest, and it's a little slow, and it takes about 12 minutes to start up, but it's good enough, I can do my taxes. Those are all signals that you may actually be infected with spyware or Trojans or all kinds of goodies. It would allow somebody to potentially steal your identity because you happen to be typing in some pretty important information. So take the time to learn about this before you, and again, really, if you bank online, you do any of those things, it's a year-round exposure. It's just a good time to really point that out to everybody so that you are constantly on the lookout for, what's going on with my computer? 602-277-5827. That's the phone number if you'd like to call in with either your hey, I've been a victim of identity theft. I'd love to hear from people that have gone through that so that people that aren't taking this seriously will start taking it seriously. Or if you have a question about your situation, or if you just have a general computer question at all, that's what the data doctors are here for every Saturday, 12 to noon. Excuse me, 12 to noon? Wow, that would be a quick show, wouldn't it? 12 to 2? I need more caffeine, I think. Again, 602-277-5827, or you can join us online, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section on the right-hand side. You'll see a place where you can either ask a question or make a suggestion. We'll try to run through those as we're multitasking here on the air. But to start things off, we've got Stuart, who's apparently listening to us through multiple facets. Stuart, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm on the phone.
Excellent.
Monday the 18th, I got hacked by a Trojan.
Well, when you say you got hacked by a Trojan, tell me what that means.
Well, I saw a suspiciously interesting-looking name on my instant message buddy list, so I clicked on it, checked the buddy profile, and it mentioned South Dakota, which was my dad's side of the family. And I engaged in instant message conversation with said screen name. It said, by the way, have you checked out my file? And I said, no, I don't usually check out files or download that I'm not expecting. So he sent the file again. I downloaded, clicked on it, booted me off America Online, term of service violation, which was a phony smokescreen. Anyway, had to re-enter my screen name and password, and the guy got access to my password through that file.
So it sounds like maybe he put one of these keyloggers or something on, because this is a very common thing. A lot of people, their MySpace pages, their instant messaging accounts, these are the kinds of tactics these guys are using to actually take over your account and sometimes even lock you out of your own account.
Yeah, he jacked my account like I was a stupid newbie, and he was right on that score. But America Online didn't care that he was the one in the chat rooms harassing my friends. They just involuntarily closed me out.
So now, what's the lesson to be learned from this? What should the rest of the people that are listening that have not experienced this, that are going to that might get approached by somebody like this, what's the lesson you want to have them learn?
Do not download files, JPEGs, or MP3s you are not expecting or unfamiliar screen names.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. That's, I mean, absolutely. Be paranoid, right?
Right.
Yes.
Paranoia is only a theory until you actually have evidence somebody is out to get you. And believe me, on the internet, there are plenty out there that will split your throat.
Yeah, they're coming after you because it's worth it to them. I mean, identity theft is so lucrative. And Stuart, thanks for chiming in. That's really... You know, again, we can talk about it all day long, but when the real people out there are experiencing it and saying, hey, don't do this. I mean, we've had this in article after article, newsletter after newsletter about the dangers, and there's your proof there. It is happening. How often have you been called by a customer about, something happened, I can't get into my MySpace account, or I can't?
When it comes to issues like this, I get this almost every day, at least a couple of times a day. Somebody comes in. It's not specifically identity theft, but somebody downloads a file. Their kids download a file on MySpace or one of their free music download sites. And almost every instance I see, somebody was unaware. They were innocent until basically they downloaded a file that they weren't aware of that was going to cause them harm. And suddenly now their system is either completely hosed or... they've had their account hijacked, or they've had their identity hijacked. It's every single day.
Yeah, you remember the big scare after 9/11 with letters that had I'm sorry, the toxic.
It was from Nigeria.
No.
Are you talking about the bank from Nigeria?
No. But all of the there were everybody was afraid to check their mail because if something comes with. One of the toxins that I can't remember what it is.
Ricin ricin, but like you're thinking about
Anyway,
it's a biological.
So now everybody got afraid of that. That's what everybody needs to get to that level of paranoia when it comes to instant messaging and email, those kinds of things. That next attachment, that next email, that next text message that has something attached to it could be one of these letter bombs, could be one of these things that's going to poison your computer. You have to be that paranoid these days. And it's a good paranoia because if you don't do that, then you just willy-nilly click on something. And unfortunately, our teenagers, who tend to be on the computer a lot more than us, are completely unaware and unafraid of everything. And that's a very, very volatile combination there. We're going to talk some more about that. The data doctors are in the house talking about safe tax returns. And if you want to learn more, stay tuned. Hey, Hey, protect your identity with the tips we've posted at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. You can see all of the things we're talking about. It's tax season. Many of you are out there on your personal computers, la-di-da, doing your taxes. And we mean to tell you, that's not necessarily the safest thing to do. So check out the resources we've posted so you can, A, understand where you're at with your computer at this moment and whether you should be concerned, and B, what you should be doing to protect yourself really year-round. But it's just a great time to remind people this is something you really want to do. And I think as we go through this, we've got Brian and Aaron. I both have stories that I think, and one of the things we talk about on the show is we want other people to learn from your pain, right? So people driving around are going to hear these stories, are going to hear these things and go, oh, okay, note to self, don't do what that guy did. So we love when people call in and share their pain with us. And Brian, you actually have one of the more painful things that can happen when it comes to a personal computer. Tell me what happened to you.
Yeah, Monday I came home from work and somebody broke into my house and stole the computer.
Ouch.
I just got done with my taxes, thankfully, and sent them off. But now my tax information could be in the wrong hands.
Yeah, because the machine, when you turn it on, it probably has a password, right?
Correct.
Okay. So if they're motivated to break that password, which these guys that know just a little bit about computers, doesn't take much.
I click on the TurboTax icon, open it up, and there it is. Simple as that.
Yeah, so well, let's talk in two different areas here. One about what you should be doing now, and one for those people that are listening that haven't had their computer stolen yet that want to maybe put a couple of extra roadblocks in there for their tax information in case their computer is stolen. So okay. In your case, you really don't know what's going to happen, but chances are at some point this machine, you know, the guy that stole it probably took it to a pawn shop who then took it and did whatever they did with it. And at some point, somebody's going to really get inquisitive about what's on the hard drive. There's too many stories about this. So you just have to assume that at some point somebody's going to get nosy. Your best case scenario is that whoever stole it and whoever has pawned it or whatever has decided, you know what, we just wipe everything, all the evidence off that this belonged to anybody else and put a fresh copy of Windows on. If that happens, you know, that's really the best thing that can happen in your situation other than a full recovery. But let's assume that somebody's going to get in there and start messing with, you know, the data that's on there to see if they can dig something up. So what you can do is you can put a fraud alert on with the major credit bureaus. You can do that. It's absolutely free.
Right, which I actually have already done that.
Okay, so if you do that, then what that tells the credit bureaus that anytime anybody's applying for credit, let me know, alert me. Right, so that's the way to help keep from somebody getting this information and doing something with it. Were there any other documents on that machine? For instance, did you keep track of username and password of your online bank accounts or anything like that? Is there anything else you should be thinking about that you should change?
My Quicken had all my bank information on it, but I do not ever click that little box that says save my password for anything.
Okay, well, just to play it safe, you do some online banking, right?
Correct.
Just to play it safe, just in case somewhere along there, because the browser a lot of times will automatically save some of the stuff, and somebody that knows a little bit more than the norm can start to dig into the cache and what have you to start to find some of the stuff. Just to play it safe, anything that you do online that's important to you, that's got personal information involved, your bank accounts, your stock accounts, or anything, just go and change the access codes.
Okay.
Just to play it safe.
All right.
That's about really all you can do at this point is just monitor all the things that are near and dear to you, and you know, keep a watch on all those things so that you can quickly react or move if you know, if something like that happens. Now, what you could have done, and you said this off the air, you know, you forgot to delete the files or move them off or what have you.
Right.
That's one of the things. After you finish your taxes, make a copy, and I'd make more than one copy. I'd make a couple of different copies. You can burn them to CD. Usually the tax files are small enough. Burn several copies of the CD and put them in a hard shell and make sure you store them upright. Put them in a safety deposit box. Mark them as taxes, whatever, but put them in a secure place. And then, obviously, then delete everything off your computer. If you're going to leave the tax records on, make sure you whatever program you're using, if there's an opportunity to use passwords, do that. If you are, one of the things we talk about in the past is Windows XP Professional, even though it's made for pro and business, we really like to tell our consumer, our home users, we really like to try to say, look, it's worth the extra money to get the professional version for your home computer because it has what's called encryption built into it, amongst other things. So you could actually encrypt the file such that if somebody were to copy that file off somehow, which is a lot of these thieves, that's all they're going to do, just do a flat copy of everything off and then wipe everything out. If they did that and it was encrypted, they'd have no way to get into the file.
Oh, okay.
Because it's no longer in its original state. And it wasn't the original user, that kind of thing. Yeah, so if you don't have Windows XP Pro and you're looking at buying a new computer, believe it or not, you can still buy Windows XP. You just have to go to a place that tells you, no, you can't. Or you have to go somewhere else.
Okay.
And Brett, you've heard, I don't know if you've heard on this show, what we tell people when it comes to buying new computers. First question you ask is, do you sell mayonnaise or refrigerators here? And if they say yes, you turn around and you walk out. That's the easiest way to know. Okay, well, you don't specialize in computers, right? Mayonnaise and refrigerators.
Yeah. Well, that computer actually was ordered from Dell.
Okay. So again, but now I'm just giving you and anybody else listening a tip. Windows XP Pro, it's like $100 or $80 or whatever it is difference. It's so much more secure. And for a situation just like this, it gives you another level of comfort that if somebody does steal your computer, they're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops to try to get your stuff.
Great.
All right, Brian, thanks for sharing your pain. Hopefully others have learned from that.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot now.
Thank you.
And good luck with it's out there. It's in the wild. Same thing happens, too, when you donate your computer if you're not particularly careful about how you delete those files. And that's something we're going to cover in future shows as well, really getting into that donation time. Aaron.
Hi.
You have some pain you'd like to share with us, and I thank you for having the courage to share that pain.
Yeah, I was engaged, and we were having some difficult times, and things started showing up, and my fiancé ended up stealing my identity, hijacking my bank account, getting cell phones in his name, cars in his name, well, actually my name, and he actually got a mortgage. It took me about 5 years to get all of it cleared up, finally, with lawyers and pressing charges.
Clearly, this is somebody that would have been appropriate before you had gotten married to call him... I'd like you to meet my future ex-husband. Wow. So.
Yeah, he had taken both hard copies and computer files.
Well, I think by and large, in general, when you're getting close to somebody, it's really hard to have that many roadblocks up. But, I mean, where do you start and stop that, right?
What?
So, in retrospect, is there anything that you would have done different, knowing now that... there was a time that you probably trusted the individual more than you should have. Is there some simple things you can think of you might have done?
Well, some of the passwords I would have used, I could have changed so he wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been so obvious to somebody who knew me. Also, simply, password protecting, doing the encryption, and also with the hard copies, keep them under lock and file.
Well, I'm starting to see a lot more, too, with people that are cohabitating. Is that the right term? Everybody has like their own laptop, and it's like a yours and mine kind of thing. And that it's instead of sharing a computer, everybody's got their own. It just kind of creates that automatic barrier. It's like the union of the data occurs on the day of the wedding or something of that nature. But that's a horrible story. But I thank you for sharing that. Now, it was a very difficult process to unwind all that. You said, right, Aaron? Did I lose you? Oh. Well, she did say it took about 5 years. I was more interested to find out how much did it cost? I mean, she said
it's in the many thousands of dollars. Can everybody I've ever spoke to, it's many, many thousands of dollars. The onus is on you to prove your innocence and prove that you are who you are and that they aren't.
The system is broken. It's backwards.
It is.
Unfortunately, but it is what it is. Again, join us online, datadoctors.com/safetax if you want to go right to the tips that we have for the self-check system that we have. The first thing you want to do is do a Control-Alt-Delete on a Windows machine. Look to see how many processes are running. We typically, on an optimized computer, so when we service a computer, we want it to leave, and there are exceptions, but for the most part, we want a desktop to leave in the 35 to 40 maybe range, tops, and then 40 to 45 maybe for most laptops. Some laptops, or a lot of laptops, require extra processes to run. So if you're in the 60, 70, 80, that means you have all these extra processes running that, A, will cause your computer to take that much longer to start up, B, could potentially be one of these spyware programs, Webroot, a spyware company. In 2006, their study said that 89% of consumer PCs were infected with some form of spyware, and the average number of infections was 30. That's a lot of stuff. I mean, we see, obviously, all day long. I mean, what's the most infected machine you've ever seen in your shop?
I've seen in the thousands at check-in. That's with one scan. And that was kind of extreme. But normally I see in the hundreds. I see anywhere between 50 to 100 on a regular basis.
And are they various types of spyware? Is it all the same? Or?
Oh, yeah. You get a whole laundry list of different spywares. Sometimes the spyware is benign. Sometimes it's just a tracking cookie. Other times it's as serious as... the software you were talking about with the identity theft, the key logging software is pretty serious. We also see a lot of what's called Smit fraud. I like to call it Guidoware. Guido comes to your door, he knocks on the door, and he says, you need protection. You say, who do I need protection from? Well, you need protection from me. And basically the way that it expresses itself is you'll see a pop-up on your desktop that, you know, maybe it may look like a Windows warning message.
Like an error or something?
Yeah, it says you are infected, you need to do something about it. And it says basically the next website when you click on it that pops up is, you know, come buy our software and we'll remove it. Well, what it does essentially is it removes the pop-up, but leaves the software and everything else, and they've got your money. And if, depending on how bad of a criminal they are, they may have your identification as well, because if you entered in your name or social security number or all of your banking information or credit card information, then they have that information too. And it is actually run by organized crime.
So these are not legitimate software companies trying to sell you protection software. It's a protection racket. Gone digital.
Exactly. And you're not, most of the time when you're on the internet, what most people don't realize is you're not in America. You know, probably 50 to 100 or 75% of the time, there's no laws.
There is no there on the internet.
Exactly, exactly. Cyberspace is pretty much...
It's a big cloud.
Exactly. It's a cloud. It's a cloud of switches all over the world. At any given time, you could be accessing a server in any country and anywhere in the world. And just because it's in English doesn't mean that you're safe.
Exactly. Now, there's your homework assignment before we go to this next break. Do a Control-Alt-Delete on your Windows machine and figure out how many processes you have running. Look on the bottom left-hand corner of the Task Manager, because when we come back, we're going to tell you what you should do about that or how to deal with that situation. We're talking about cloud. Are there any clouds out there that we should be aware of, or how about the traffic out there? It's time to talk to Danny Sullivan to talk about the clouds and the cars. Tax time. Have you done your? Have you hugged your tax return today? Actually, really, what you need to be doing is hugging your PC and making sure it's safe. That's what our show this week is all about. 602-277-5827 is the phone number if you have a question about anything when it comes to technology, or if you want to share your pain like some of the other callers. Brian and Aaron called in and told us about their situation, their concerns, their identity being stolen, their computer being stolen. What to do. It's a great way to know, all of you that have not had these things happen to you, what you should be doing proactively, because most of you are reactive computer users, meaning you wait till something happens and then you say, oh my goodness. Oh, let's say like data backup. It's amazing how many people think about backup after the crash. Think about backup before the crash. People are thinking about, oh, my computer might not have been that safe when I did my taxes a month ago. You're hearing this show now, you're reacting to this. So next year, hopefully you'll be proactive. Those of you that have not done your taxes yet, and you plan on doing it on your personal computer, join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see all of the resources, including the self-check processes, the things that if you're a do-it-yourselfer, here are the things that we'd suggest you do. If you just flat out don't want to deal with it, any Data Doctors location in the country, we're in 14 states across the country, you just take it in and say, hey, Ken said I can get a safe tax checkup, and what they'll do is they'll basically go through that whole checkup process for you so that you can understand what's going on in your computer, so that you understand then what your options are to get that thing cleaned up and make sure that it is ready to go, and you make a decision on what you want to do. But again, you do it yourself. Just join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see all these links that we have to some of these resources. We have an email question here. Good email question. Where'd it go? There it is. Linda writes, I've got 75 processes running causing me to run slower. What is the best way to determine what should be there and what can be deleted? Thanks. Love your show. Listen every week at work. Listen at work every week. So hopefully the boss isn't listening right now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And Linda, if you get a chance to click over to our website in the this week's links section. The second item on that is, what should I do if I have excessive processes running? And I wrote a column some time ago on that, because it gets fairly complicated. You have to decide by reading through this. This is something I feel like taking on. But at the end of the day, well, you'll notice that there's a tab when you do your Control-Alt-Delete. When you get to the task manager, you'll see there's a tab called Processes that actually lists out all the different processes running in your computer. And basically, the bottom line is you have to go, and those of us in the business kind of can look at a lot of these and go, okay, that's standard part of Windows, that's standard part of Windows. But the stuff that's not, I mean, when you see iExplore.exe, that's Internet Explorer. Okay, that's okay. It's supposed to be there. The stuff that you're not familiar with, what you literally have to do if you're going to try to do this yourself, is take the name of the process in its entirety and put it into Google and search to figure out what the heck this process is. And if it's a process that it refers to a program that you're aware of, you go, okay, that one's okay. Next one, you have to go through the whole list. So if you have 80 processes running and you're not really familiar with what's what, you would have to go through that process. Again, it's a manual checkup thing, but this way you know exactly what's running on your computer. Otherwise, you refer it to technical people that can go through this quicker for you. It's like anything else in computing, right? It's time or money. Which would you rather spend to take care of this situation? So take a look at that column, and then it also gives you some ideas about the differences between the system files and the user files, and I mean all that stuff. So, and while you're in there, those of you that are looking in your task manager, another key indicator that you have issues that you should take care of is if you click over to the performance tab, there's these little graphical things that show up. The top one shows your processor, your CPU, central processing unit usage. And that should be, if you're not doing anything, like right now I'm running idle on the station's machine. You know, of course, I would expect the station to be. I've got four or five things open, and it's got 33 processes. So if I closed all the things I had running, probably 30 or less. It's a lean, mean, corporately controlled machine. So it's idling right now between 0 and 3% usage on the CPU because there's some web stuff going on. How many times do we see people coming in, oh, my machine's really slow, and you go and look at this CPU usage meter, and it's almost pegged?
Oh, it looks like a dying man's EKG.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the thing is all over the map. I mean, if you're getting a lot of peaks and a lot of spikes in there, and your percentage is running into the 20s and above, you get some real serious issues, because most programs aren't supposed to be designed to run high CPU usage at idle. Only when you run them, they're supposed to be in the upper ranges.
You know what would constantly use your processor?
Spyware, yeah. Virus, perhaps?
Malware?
Yes.
Somebody reporting to home?
Or really bad antivirus software?
Yes. All of the above. So hopefully that'll get you started, those of you that want to figure all this out on your own. Hey, there's plenty of information resources up on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. You got to take this seriously. And again, this is not just this time of year. It's year-round. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give you some additional tips on this whole processes thing that'll help you really understand how to take care of this thing long-term. Stay tuned. It's the Data Doctors.
You touch a key, and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the Data Doctors.
And welcome to hour number two. In fact, the Data Doctors are in the house. Ken Colburn, Brett Schwimmer, Data Doctors du jour. And Data Doctor in Training, Taylor Colburn. Yeah?
I said like three words this entire time.
I know. What's your deal?
Well, you haven't really exactly given me a lot of spots to train in.
You know how it works. You want in on the feeding bag, you got to push your way in.
Survival of the fittest, my friend.
Well, I mean, it's not like you have to do taxes, right?
That's true.
And it's not like you have to really worry about whether the computer's infected or anything, right?
Nope.
You just download whatever you want, right?
All the time.
I have seen the enemy, and he lives with me. And you know what? I mean, it's no different than my house. It's a constant thing of trying to remind him, look, I understand there's some cool stuff for your iPod Touch, and you can't just download anything you want. Right? We've had that discussion a bunch of times. Yeah. So at least now we're getting to the point where it goes, hey, Dad, is it okay if I do this? 6 out of 10 times. But all of you out there that have teenagers, you have the same problem I have. You gotta. They're so into technology. They're just so in the moment that they can just fall for anything. This is cool. I want to download this. And when that happens, yeah. Hey, by the way, we have a weekly newsletter that we send out that's absolutely free. And there's all kinds of things in there. A tip of the week, our head whack of the week, some security and all kinds of new stuff. But one of the most important things in there is our Geek Speak of the Week. Every week we try to bring you a piece of the vernacular of the digital age. Those geeks and nerds that think they're better than you and they talk the language because they think you don't know what they're talking about. Well, we're here to educate you. So every week we try to bring you something. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is a nerd bling.
Never heard of it.
Nerd bling. That's why we do this segment, Brett.
I know this.
You're too old. Taylor knows nerd bling.
We had a conversation on the way here.
Yes, we did. What is nerd bling there, Taylor?
It's when the geeks or the nerds out there wear their little flash drives on their lanyards. Mine's a 32 gigabyte. It's better than yours.
So the amount of bling is determined by the storage space, right?
Right.
On that. So nerd bling is, you know, any technology that you're kind of wearing like you would, you know, in hip-hop, it's jewelry, right? It's the bling. So, of course, you've got, you know, 3 or 4 cell phones and a flash drive hanging off your neck. And
I'm sure the ladies love that.
And the
little glasses.
Little Bluetooth headset, right? I'm sorry, I refuse to wear, I am not going to wear one of those things. Where you walk around and, you know, like you're a cyborg or whatever. It's just, no, can't do it.
I'm not that important.
I hate being on the other end of that conversation half the time. People use these Bluetooth headsets. They can hear fine, but you hear this. What, say that again? Are you on a Bluetooth headset? Okay, would you get back on the handset, please? Anyway, so that's our Geek Speak of the Week. If you're interested in learning more about your computer and staying on top of what's going on and getting a tip, like this week's tip is how to create a signature in Outlook and Outlook Express. Ooh la la. A lot of people still don't know how to do that. It's in the newsletter. If you're not a subscriber and you want to know what the heck we're talking about, go to datadoctors.com. Click on, actually, you'll see down at the bottom of the homepage there where you can subscribe to our newsletter. And before you subscribe, you can actually look at the newsletter archives and see the last 10 or 12 that we put out so that you can say, okay, I like what you're sending out. I'll sign up for this. It's no advertising, no spyware, no whatever. It's no spam. You have to really, really, really want it. It's what they call a double opt-in. You're going to say, yes, I want it. And then it's going to say, are you sure you want it? And then you're going to say yes, and then you're in. Speaking of in, Larry is in the computer corner with a very good tip for all of you when it comes to preventing or avoiding some of the fraud out there. Larry, tell him your perspective of how to protect yourself.
Okay, Ken. Somehow, and I don't remember, I found out about a credit freeze, and I started following it and looking on the internet and everything, and then I found out that Arizona basically was one of like 11 states last year where you could not place a security freeze on your through the credit bureaus.
Yeah, there was nothing in place for that, right?
Correct. And then I believe Equifax was the first, and I believe it was October of last year. They allowed you the option of putting a credit freeze on your account.
Yes.
And in our state, I've actually talked to state legislators about this to try to get the, you know, the laws passed so that we don't have to pay, you know, like other states. But for $10 for the three major credit bureaus, which is Equifax, TransUnion,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And Experian. Right.
Now it's $10 each.
It's $10 each.
Right.
And basically what it does is your credit is locked down to the point of where if somebody calls for like a credit score, they call it, you know, Equifax, and then they put in your Social Security number and your birth date, they can't even get your credit score.
Right, so they're blocked out.
It prevents anybody from opening any new accounts. Now, the lady on earlier, had she had that in place, would have never spent 5 years trying to get extricated from it.
Exactly. That's great. Now, and so we talked about the credit alert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this
fraud
is
alert.
Different. This is the fraud alert, right?
Yes.
Versus the credit freeze. So
yes.
So the analogy is the fraud alert is like putting a burglar alarm on your house to tell you when somebody's trying to break in. The credit freeze is more like putting, like, iron curtains and deadbolts and, like, securing everything so that no one can get in, including yourself.
That's actually true, and that's something that you would want to take into consideration. Like, my wife and I are, you know, close to retirement age, and, of course, for us, if you got hit at 65 and spent the next, you know, I mean, we might be dead before we got our credit straightened out.
Yes.
But the good news is there are four, and one of them I didn't even know about until I started looking into this, but it's called Innovis, I-N-N-O-V-I-S, I believe it is.
You mean another credit bureau?
Yes.
Yes.
It's actually a fourth one.
Yes.
And
fledgling, yeah.
So, but Innovis, the good news is they do it for free.
Well, here's the exact way that it goes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can pay $10 as long as you're not in Arkansas, Kansas, Mississippi, South Dakota, or the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. Those states can only put credit freezes. They will only allow people to put credit freezes if you are a victim. You have to prove that you've been a victim of identity theft. If you have been a victim of identity theft, you can put a credit freeze on your account, and all three of the majors will not charge you anything if you can show them the paperwork.
Right, that is correct.
So, but if you want to be proactive,
right,
like Larry's saying, hey, I'm retired, I really don't need much in the way of credit anymore, so why take a chance? I'll spend the $30, lock it down, and then you know the process. If you say, you know what, I want to temporarily lift that freeze,
it's on the website.
They charge you another $10
right,
to temporarily unfreeze it. And, of course, if you say you want to freeze it back again, they charge you another $10. But, again, I mean, it's chump change compared to losing your identity, right?
And then, too, if you want to buy something, let's say, you know, I was associated with ADT, the security systems. All you do is ask them, well, which bureau do you use? And in a particular case where I was involved, they used Equifax, and you would just call an 800 number, and they will either open it up for a specific amount of time, or they will even make it specific to a specific company.
Right, if you tell them that it's coming,
yes,
then you can work with that. And
yes,
each company does it different. So one of the things you said, though, when we were talking off the air, you said the credit bureaus really don't want to make it that obvious and easy for you to find these things. Is that correct?
That is absolutely true. And you might have to go to, like, site maps and things like that and kind of back into it.
I have a better tip for you.
What's that?
If you go to our friends at Google,
okay,
and you type the words security freeze in,
right,
guess what comes up? The actual pages at Experian, TransUnion.
Excellent.
All right there. So now, the thing about that, folks, if you're going to use Google to find this, the ads that come up that talk about freezing your credit and all, the stuff that's in the sponsored link area, don't look at that. Look at the natural search stuff so you're going right to it. Otherwise, you may fall into a trap where a company is going to charge you to do what you can do yourself.
Yeah, a whole bunch of other stuff. But it would cost in Arizona $10 for the big three, and then Innovis is free.
Got it. Larry, thank you so much for that tip. That's a great tip. And of those of you that didn't know about it, now you know. Something else you should probably know is whatever Danny Sullivan wants to tell us, because she's in charge. She's the maven of traffic and weather at this point. Right, Danny? Is your computer safe enough to do your taxes? Why guess? Why not follow our advice and figure it out? And then once you do, use those same tips year-round. Back to school? Is your computer safe enough for back to school? Is it safe enough for online banking? Is it safe enough to manage your brokerage account? It's all the same issue. It's time to take some time and learn a little bit more about what's underneath the hood of your computer so that you can be a more informed consumer. We talked about checking the number of processes and what we on a professional level do to make sure that our customers' machines are as clean as possible. We're probably the only company that's out there that I'm aware of that really goes to that level. We do just a completely comprehensive service whenever somebody brings something in. This is our 20th anniversary of being in business. A long time ago we learned when you do quick fixes, then you end up with a lot of problems because you didn't take care of all the things that were going on. You just took care of the one thing that the customer was complaining about, and then when they get home, they figure out this other thing's still going on, and we don't allow that to happen. If we're going to touch the computer, we go through. So we go through this comprehensive service process that, I mean, it's like 42, 43 steps that we go through. So it's the same every time. But the big thing is when it comes out, it's been is optimized so that the fewest number of processes, and if you think of processes like, if you're in Vegas, you know, the reason computers are slow, if you're, let's pretend the processing system is like sitting at a blackjack table in Vegas. When you sit down, it's you and the dealer. That guy can take your money really fast, can't he? Because it's just you and him. Those cards come around quick. Second person sits down, takes a little bit longer, but he can still pretty well take your money. If you sit down at a table where there's 35 people playing, right? And oh, by the way, the blackjack dealer has to serve drinks and clean up the mess in aisle 5 and whatever it is. It takes a lot longer for you to get your cards, so the game goes a lot slower. In that case, it's probably a good thing, right? When it comes to your computer, not so good. So these processes that are running speak directly to the performance of your computer on one end. More importantly, nowadays, because these bad guys are so good at hiding from you, they can sneak something in that's going to run as a background process, and you'll never know it unless you're looking for it. So let's say, for the sake of argument, you take our advice and you get this thing, your computer set up to where it's actually optimized. It's running at 35 or 40 processes. Well, it doesn't mean, okay, I'm done, because if you just don't pay attention again, 6 months from now, it's going to be back up to 60 or 80 because nobody's paying attention. So here's the advanced tip for those of you that are going to take on this check. Make it a point once a month, restart your machine, and check the number of processes running. Last month it was 43, this month it's 52. What the heck happened? Well, you know what happened in the last 30 days. Gives you a much better chance of trying to figure out what happened. More importantly, you probably got a better shot at figuring out who did it and the behavior that has to be modified so that it doesn't keep happening. The bottom line with this whole issue with your computer is, you, the user, you're the one that's basically... You and the people in your household, and if they're younger, then you got more of a task. But the behavior that's exhibited by the users is really what's going to determine how well that computer runs. People that are in the business don't allow this to happen. That's why their computers tend to run better and longer, and because they're paying attention and they're cleaning the stuff up and they're limiting what goes into their system. So here's a quick way. You don't have to be technical. If you're monitoring the number of processes your computer has and it suddenly spikes up, you're going to know something happened since the last time I checked. And then you can go back and look to see what new programs got installed, talk to your family members to figure out who did what, and take action so when it goes from 45 to 50, you get it back down to 45 because you figured out what happened, instead of waiting until it gets to 80 and then it's completely useless and you're not happy. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Bill, who's got a classic problem trying to uninstall a program that doesn't want to go. So we're going to talk to Bill and see if we can give him some help on that. If you've got a question, 602-277-5827. We're going to talk some more about the whole making sure your computer is ready for the tax season and really ready for year-round use. I mean, because if somebody's in there... you're trying to steal your identity. It's really not tax season, right, Brett?
Not
just about that.
That's every day is free money day for the criminals.
So we're going to talk about that and a lot more. Stay tuned. 602-277-5827. It's the Data Doctors. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're trying to give you tips so that you can take control of your own situation and understand what's going on in your computer. All it takes is the three-fingered salute. It tells you right away if you should be concerned and do something about it, or, hey, I'm good. Control-Alt-Delete should bring up the Task Manager. Look in the bottom left-hand corner. If it's more than 35 to 40 processes running, and this is... Make sure nothing else is running. Don't have a bunch of programs open because those are all processes. Restart your machine, and just after a fresh restart, Control-Alt-Delete, check those number of processes. That gives you an idea of what you're dealing with. And again, if it's over 35 to 40, go right to our website, datadoctors.com/radio, and look at all the different things that you probably should look into, consider, do, whatever it is that, you know, the bottom line is you're now alerted to, I got a problem. The whole waiting for your computer to crash and then dealing with it, we're trying to help you with ways to understand, I actually do have a problem right now. Maybe I shouldn't wait until this thing becomes completely useless. Speaking of completely useless, Bill has a completely useless antivirus program that doesn't want to go. Is that right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
And so tell me what's going on. You've got an older machine?
Yeah, an older machine that I'm trying to uninstall Norton Antivirus. And... when I do that, it just gives me an error message saying that I'm missing the software that I need to do it.
You're missing what the you're missing part of the uninstall program, right?
Right.
And of course, you did what you're supposed to do. You contacted Symantec.
Mm-hmm.
And explain what was happening. They said, oh, we have a simple fix for you. Just go here, do this, do that, do this, and you'll be good.
Right.
And?
Same result as before I talked to them.
Not so much, huh?
Not so much.
Not so much. Okay. So did you talk specifically to them, or did you do it through email, or what did you do?
I went to the website because it prompted me to go to Symantec. /install and look for my problem, and I found the link that said that, you know,
this is what you should do. Okay,
missing my in-stops, and this is what I need to do.
Okay, so the reality is there's really about 6-7 different things that could be causing this problem, but at the end of the day, if you're not able to find a quick fix through one of their removal tools, what's happened is the Windows operating system. What version of Windows is it?
XP Pro.
XP Pro. So Windows is really confused about this particular inhabitant.
Mm-hmm.
And the instructions on how to manage this person are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so for it to be a quick and dirty uninstall kind of thing, Windows really has to know what's going on. I mean, we see this all the time, don't we, Brett?
Oh, yeah. It gets worse if you get bigger versions of the software.
Yeah.
The security suite and the firewall protection.
Oh,
it gets even worse.
They got all these different things. So what typically ends up happening in these cases?
Usually in a case like this, one of two things can happen. Occasionally, if it's the larger security suites with the firewall, sometimes removing it can actually cause a blue screen. You can actually have Windows crash as a result. It doesn't sound like that's going to occur with what you have, but you're going to have to remove from the registry. I don't know if you know anything about editing the registry. Manually remove all the registry entries. And there's probably several hundred to several thousand, depending on how much you were able to remove with Windows, you know, add and remove programs and control panel. I wouldn't recommend that the average person edit the registry, because unless you know what you're doing, you're going to cause the exact same problem I just described, the blue screen. Windows will crash.
So here's a couple things you can try. I just did a quick search in Google. I typed in uninstall Norton Antivirus 2005. I got 374,000 possible links returned.
Uh-huh.
And most of them are people asking or saying, I'm having the same problem as you're saying you have. I can't install. How can I fully remove? So there's a good chance that if you're willing to take the time and kind of plow through those things, that you'll find. You sound like you're fairly comfortable working with this stuff. So,
yeah.
So look at all of those. The first one that comes up is the Symantec support page on this. It's probably what you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
So now, after that, you'll start to see real users like you that have kind of said, hey, I'm having this problem. And so you'll start to see these patterns about things that did and did not work.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully one of those in there will be a fix that you can manage, so that you don't have to take it into somebody professionally to have them go through this really excruciating process to get that thing out.
Okay.
All right? So those are your options, is to spend the time this weekend looking through those 374,000 links. One of them is bound to help you if you're willing to spend the time.
All right.
And then if not, then you say, you know what, my time's too valuable, I'll pay somebody.
There is no, like, program out there. Like, you know, I realize that Eraser can do it, but there's no simple program that, hey,
yes,
I want to get rid of this.
Yes, there is one way that you can absolutely make sure that this is gone and you don't have to deal with it. Wipe everything out and reinstall Windows.
Okay.
That's the only guaranteed way that I can tell you will work every time. Otherwise, everything is on a case-by-case basis, which is why you really have to go through this.
Okay.
The unenviable position that we're in as technicians, you know, every day people are bringing us these things that are. I mean, nobody ever comes in and gives us cookies when things are great, right?
Right.
They only come for tragedy. That's okay. That's why we're data doctors. So, but these things, there's no one or two. There's so many different possibilities for just about everything that happens, that how you go about figuring out the best solution for this exact situation is really what people pay professionals for, is because there's so many possibilities. And the days of the old Windows 3.1 where there was like two places where you just replaced these two files and no matter what it was, you know, it's cool, you're back up and running. Those days are so far and long gone because of how complicated Windows is that, you know, it's really got to be taken that. So the nice thing is you now have something called Google that will get you in touch with lots of other people that have had the exact same problem as you. And if you're willing to spend the time, you don't have to come see the professionals.
All right.
Make sense?
Yep.
Hey, good luck, Bill.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right.
And if you have a question, we still have a few minutes, about 20 minutes there, 602-277-5827. We're also going to go back to our email box here to see what what's come in, to see what folks are asking online as well. Again, if you want to make sure that your computer is properly configured so that you're, you know, you're safe before you start doing your taxes, all those resources are on the this week's links section of the radio show page, datadoctors.com/radio, including the column I wrote about, you know, if, again, if you're a do-it-yourself or you want to go figure out what all those processes are and you want to get rid of them, the information's there if you're willing to do it. There's a link to a free online virus scanner. You want to make sure that the, your virus program is really catching everything? Well, get a second opinion. You do it online. Spyware programs. There's even a great, there's a link there to a great parental control program we've talked about over and over again. That's K9. K9 Web Protection. The reason I like that program is it does a great job as a parental control tool, but it's actually a very good malicious software blocker. So if your child goes to a website that clearly has malicious software on it, like the drive-by downloads and those kinds of things that are going on these days, it actually it blocks access to the site and says, somebody's going to have to tell me I can override this. And, of course, if you've been able to keep the password away from the child, then they can't click on the link and move on. So it actually blocks the behavior. So instead of waiting until you get infected and then trying to get rid of it, it's another tool, and it's absolutely free, K9 Web Protection. There's a link in there that says free content control software that blocks malicious sites. That's a good one. Obviously, make sure your wireless software, or your Windows operating system is up to date. It's a fairly simple thing. It's absolutely free. Then make sure your wireless network is secure. And if you like us and you want to see, I did this segment on CNN this morning. So we have a link to the CNN video because we do. 602-277-5827, again, is the phone number. If you missed the newsletter this week, and some of you, I understand, we've seen this email come in time and time again where you're trying to subscribe, but you can't. I mean, you hear this, right, Brett?
But once in a while.
Yeah. I can't subscribe. I subscribed. I can't get my – your newsletter's not coming. You know, that whole problem. It has nothing to do with us.
That could never happen to us. Yeah. I can't imagine how that could possibly happen.
Well, what ends up happening is some large ISPs will look at anything that is being sent to more than X number of people on their system and just automatically say, okay, that's spam. You know, there can't be that many people that want the same thing, so we're gonna play it safe and just block it as spam. And that will happen with newsletters, with all kinds of things, you know, and it's just a constant battle to go back and forth. So if you're one of those that has tried to subscribe to the newsletter and your particular ISP just won't let the thing through, there's a couple of options for you. One, it's not near as elegant, but you can manually go to our website every week, look at the newsletter archives, download them. It's just like you had an email. Two, if you know what RSS is, wise guy, you know what RSS stands for?
Kind of, but not really.
Real Simple Syndication. Another one of those crazy terms that somebody just thought it was cool and they did it.
I've seen the little icon for it that's like orange and has little waves.
Right. That's exactly what that is. If you have an RSS reader, and everybody that has one, they're already going, come on. Well, this is for the people that don't know about this. You can actually subscribe to our RSS feed, which means every time we make a change to a certain part of our website, you automatically get that updated. It almost looks like an email program, but it's actually linked to all of these resources that you particularly like, that you're subscribing to, including our radio show podcasts. If you want those to just automatically download into your RSS reader, you can do that. It's all set up. If you look on the radio show page, you can link your RSS reader and subscribe to the RSS feed, as well as our podcasts, if you want to have those just delivered to you, so that you can listen to Brett over and over and over again. Because otherwise they'd have to... Which store do you normally work out of?
I work all over the place, Ken. Well, I'm never in one store in particular. I'm actually all over the valley.
Okay, but so there's six of them that you're working out of. So if they're lucky, they'll catch you in Ahwatukee.
You're either going to catch me in Ahwatukee at 40th Street and Chandler Boulevard.
Right, where else?
You're going to catch me at Ray and Rural.
Okay.
You're going to catch me at Alma School in Germain. You might catch me at Gilbert and Riggs,
right?
Gilbert and Chandler Boulevard,
right?
Or Valveston Baseline.
And if they had a bunch of processes and they don't want to deal with it themselves, they go in, they get a free checkup, they get safe tax checkup in any of those locations. Say, Brett said, come in and see me, right?
That's right.
Okay, all right.
So. They won't give you my phone number, though, because, you know, I have to keep my aura of mystery about me. I can't be reachable at any time, but yes, I will get the message.
You got the East Valley covered for me.
Yeah,
good.
I do.
Because I'm getting old and tired. 20th anniversary, isn't that cool?
It's amazing. We've been doing this for about 6 years now, just us. So.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a marriage, huh?
Data Doctors is older than that young man, right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh?
That's not hard to believe.
Data Doctors was my first baby.
Hey.
Let's see here if we can sneak in. No, we can't because I'm going to run up against the temptress of traffic. Danny Sullivan here. Or can we just go to that early? Let's just go to that. Danny, we've coined it now. I'm sorry. On our show, you're the temptress of traffic. Last chance to get your computer ready for tax season. Of course, a lot of people are going, tax season? Been there, done that. Done did my return. I'm getting a refund. Yeah, but did you check to make sure your machine wasn't full of stuff that could track what you were doing while you were doing your taxes? So it really doesn't matter whether you've done them already or you're going to be doing them. You should probably take a few minutes and take a look at the resources we've posted at datadoctors.com/radio. And we're about to go off the air here, but if you missed any part of the show, go to the website or just you can contact any location in the country. This is a nationwide campaign we have to try to create awareness so that you can just call them or just go visit them. If you're not really sure what's going on, just you couldn't get in during the radio show, just call them or you can take your machine down. They'll actually go through a whole free checkup for you to show you exactly what's going on in your machine. So take advantage of that if you either don't want to deal with it or you missed it or whatever is going on. Don't forget you can sign up for our free newsletter at datadoctors.com. Right at the homepage there, if you scroll down, you'll see a place where you can subscribe. While you're there, you can take a look to see what it is that we send you. Like this week, we sent out a tip on how to create signatures in Outlook and Outlook Express, as well as a warning for those of you that already know how to do this, that put your cool little company logo or picture of yourself in your signature. Better need to read our newsletter so you understand why that may not be a good idea. What about, have you ever had a situation, Brett, you've had this happen, somebody goes, I forgot my password in Windows.
Happens all the time.
Well, you know what? We have a link. We have an item on there that tells people how to create a password reset disk that you have to do it before you lose your password. Here's that proactive thing again. Folks, we're telling you how to avoid having to use our services in our newsletter every week. You know why we do that? Because we know most of you don't listen. We're doing more business now than we started 20 years ago. We're going to do more business next year. Just the fact of it is that that's how it works. But we will, if you're willing to listen, we will teach you something every week if you sign up for our newsletter, including the Geek Speak of the Week and some opinion columns, the advice column on this particular topic of making sure your computer's safe. All the links, all the resources, including if you want to try to clean it up yourself, the links and all that information is there at datadoctors.com/radio. You can sign up for the newsletter there. You can ask a question. You can do all those things. Let her rip there. So let's go back to the phones here. That's an interesting situation. Shelley, you have a very interesting scenario there. I haven't heard for a long time. Tell me what happened in your case.
Well, I think it's important. A lot of people telecommute nowadays, and I brought my personal laptop in to use for professional reasons in the workplace, and they put up a roaming profile so they could install Norton Corporate Edition, and they installed it via their server, even though I am the admin of my computer, locked all the way down to HD and a BIOS password. They installed it, and once I did part ways with this company, I have no way of uninstalling it because I get it was installed over the server air, and it has just wreaked havoc on opening and closing ports on my computer.
Check out the tech on Shelly, though, huh? Listen to her.
She's
going
out,
girl.
Ports and...
Whew. You're scared.
You have on computer information systems.
Listen now, you're scaring me. Well, at this point, obviously, the system in which you received this, it's a fairly secured process, because if it wasn't, then users could willy-nilly make changes to what the corporate mandate is.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, you're in a situation where you're going to have to get into somebody that's got the expertise to get past the standard security blocks. And there's so many different possibilities, including changing of profiles. And, there's a solution for you. I don't know if the solutions that are out there, I don't know how easy it would be for you to reload your OS.
I'm thinking that's going to be the safest way, because I've done Rudge Edit, and it blocks my port. I can't VPN to anything now, and it's just...
Yeah, there's a whole myriad. It's probably a cascading effect, too. So if you make one change in the registry, and you don't understand what the impact's going to be of the other registry keys, and it's just cascading issues. So you sound fairly technical. If you want to do it yourself, your cleanest way to make absolutely sure you're on the other side that you're actually going to have a functioning machine is basically just, let's just start over.
Okay.
So, but in order to do that, and again, I just like to go through this even with technical people, obviously make sure you have a good backup of your critical data,
right.
and then take the additional step to verify the backup. We're in the data recovery business. We do more business for technology-savvy people than we do non-tech-savvy people. Because tech-savvy people tend to put themselves in a much bigger pickle because they assume things.
Mm-hmm.
So take the time and verify that backup. Obviously, I'm assuming you have your operating system CDs or recovery CD or something like that. But make sure you have all the original disks for all the programs. Look at your program groups and make sure that, and I'm telling you really to help everybody listening, make sure that you have the disks for all the programs that you're going to want on the fresh install. Another thing that we see all the time is somebody goes down this road and they forgot to check that, and then they figure out they don't have the disks.
I just want a reminder to everyone that they do bring their computer in to keep a good relationship with their employer if they leave.
or double check everything that day that you're leaving or whatever. Yeah. In your case, they went out of business, right?
That is correct.
So there you go. So anyway, good luck with that. But I think that is the right way to go for you.
All right. Thanks for your service.
Hey, thank you. All right. Wow, she was tech, huh? To make you all warm and fuzzy inside.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Data Doctors. Join us online, datadoctors.com. Listen to the show. Take our advice. Do whatever you like. Thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you all next week.